Hey everybody, I as Actar here with Quest for Peace. Now, if you've never seen this show, I don't blame you because I haven't done a whole bunch of them. But here I am recording one for you because, you know what, I felt like talking, I had some time, I figured why not do an episode. If you guys don't know anything about this show, here's how it goes. I share with you my quest for peace. I've been trying to find some inner peace for about, now it's 6 years. When I hit 29, I had a freak out, I'm like, I'm going to be 30 soon. And I really wanted to find a way to be sane. And then I was going to have a kid. So I was having a kid, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm crazy. So if I figure out how to deal with me, maybe I can give insights to my son as he grows up. So that led to a whole like mental deconstruction to try to figure out exactly what I am, what I should be, and how exactly I can help this kid in the future. Because seriously, if I don't have this figured out, how is he going to know what to do? So here's the deal. Today's episode, I wanted to talk about fitting in. Now, a lot of things about me just don't fit in. When I was growing up in Queens, I went to Catholic school. My folks they didn't want to pay for private school because there was four kids. And they sent us to a Catholic school, which was nearby. Now, by definition, right there, I don't fit in because I'm not Catholic. My parents aren't Catholic. They're from Pakistan. They are Muslim or non-practicing, or I don't know what you would call it at this point, but they didn't raise us particularly religious either. So we were told to assimilate. So here I am in Queens, and the neighborhood is pretty Italian, some Irish, it's got some Hispanic, and then the very few at the time folks from the Middle East. All right, so my folks were Pakistani, they still are Pakistani, I guess, although I guess they're citizens. Dad's dead, whatever. The point is, first generation American. So the thing is, I'm trying to fit in school. And so I go into school. I have a weird name. Everyone's got, you know, the very simple and clean names like John and Mary and, you know, people named after saints and things. And here's Ayaz. So that's a weird name already. So that's the first hurdle I had to get over. And what's funny is in kindergarten, nobody noticed it was weird. I didn't think about it. As the years went on, I realized, okay, my name doesn't fit the exact mold for the school. There wasn't a lot of minorities also in the school. There was like me and maybe another one. And then like, okay, now there's five of us out of 60. So not a huge percentage of minorities. So it felt a little weird, but thankfully growing up in Queens, there's a lot of minorities. So while it might not be your minority, you're still in a minority. So I went through school. I gained a lot of weight when I went through puberty. So I was a little rotund guy. So here I am in school with a weird name, not Catholic, and now I'm fat. Okay, so fitting in, not doing very well because now I'm a huge target for bullies. Now, thankfully, I had known these kids all my life while I was getting fat, so they didn't exactly put me through the ringer. They were very nice, even though I wasn't. I thought the way I figured I would fit in was picking on people sometimes, and I don't recommend doing that. I look back on that and think, well, that was a kind of a shitty move to do. I shouldn't have done that. Picked on some kids, made me more popular. I don't recommend doing that. But that was a quest to fit in this world where I didn't really belong. So around 12 or 13, I'm going to jump around here. Around 12 or 13, I was going to take a trip to Pakistan. Okay. And I was kind of getting weirded out by this concept of going to Pakistan. I had grown up in New York my whole life at that point, and Pakistan is just weird. Okay. It's not normal. Okay? It's not the United States. So I go over there and I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute though. People are going to look like me. They're going to sound like me. It's going to be very different. Here's the thing though. When I got to Pakistan as a kid, they looked at me as an American. I was weird already. So I didn't fit in even there. I was brown like them. But once they heard me speak, they knew I was from America. I don't speak other languages very well anyway. I understand a good, let's say two, three languages at this point, including English. I mean, that includes English. So I could understand them, but I didn't fit in again. So here I am in my homeland, right? And I don't fit in. So I'm like, oh, this sucks. I don't know what to do. So I stayed in my mom's parents' home and watched movies, a lot of bootleg movies, actually. Surprising amount of bootleg movies in Pakistan at the time. I think Rocky IV was out or something like that. There was a movie that wasn't available out, but we got to watch it. Let's back up a couple of years. and my quest to fit in. When I was a kid in 89, so this is, I'm 10 years old, there was a movie, Batman, you might have heard of it, with Michael Keaton, Tim Burton, Jack Nicholson. This is the movie. And so when I saw the trailer for this thing, I was like, cool, they're making a Batman movie. So after I watched the movie, I went into a Walden Books with my dad. Walden Books is the name of a bookstore. There used to be bookstores, ladies and gentlemen, in the movie in the mall. So I go to the bookstore and I buy a whole bunch of Batman trade paperbacks. I get like the greatest team ups ever, greatest team up stories ever told. It's got a picture of Superman and Batman shaking hands. It's a Neil Adams drawing. It's fantastic. There was Dark Knight Returns, which I did not understand at the time. I'm like, what is this? The art looks weird, and I don't know what's going on. Why is Superman look so funny? Frank Miller's classic. I also grabbed, what else did I get? Greatest Joker stories ever told. A whole bunch of Batman stuff, which led me into the world of comic books. So let's put this all together before I go to Pakistan at 12 or 13. I'm a weird kid. Sorry, I'm not a weird kid. I'm a kid whose name is Ayaz, who goes to Catholic school, who is gaining weight. And on top of that, guess what? I'm getting into comic books. So I'm kind of developing a lot of nerd tendencies here. Not nerd tendencies. Tendencies make me an outsider. So I found some solace in the fact that my younger brother liked comic books too, so we started talking a bit about that. Then there was, I'd go to the comic shop and I'd meet Rob, this big guy who joined the comic zone, and you could pick the books you wanted ahead of time and they would put it aside for you so they wouldn't be sold out. It was one of the benefits. You got a laminated card. The guys knew your name behind the counter. It's kind of neat. So I had this little comic subculture, and I used to go into comic cons, and back then they weren't as gigantic as they are now. The Marvel movies at the time are laughable and like just terrible. I remember I was excited that that Fox was making a Nick Fury movie starring David Hasselhoff. I'm like, oh man, maybe people will like comic books. Yeah, that one didn't really do it. So I'm getting into comic books. I'm getting into all kinds of things at the time. And I'm trying to find a place to fit in. So I go to these comic cons and these conventions and like in church basements trying to complete my Wolverine collection, trying to find the elusive Wolverine 26, I think it is. I went to many a church basement finding one. I finally found one and completed my collection to 1 to 50 because I was collecting stuff for some reason. So you identify with, you know, the X-Men as a teenager. You're like, I don't fit in. Look, here are these weird mutants. They don't fit in either. The world's against them. It's so weird. I relate to them. So, you know, I related to a lot of those kinds of characters. So I didn't fit in at school, really. I mean, as a student, I was okay. I was somewhat well-liked. My teachers liked me. My older brother was a bit of a teacher's pet. So they always thought that, well, the brother is going to be just as much of a suck-up. Now, I don't like sucking up to anybody. It's not something I do. I do give compliments if somebody's really good at something. And if they have if somebody's asking for feedback, I'll give it. But I'm not a... I'm not a brown noser, other than the fact that I have a brown nose. So I don't do that kind of stuff. So the teachers kind of liked me, gave me passes when I shouldn't have gotten them. So there was that. So I was getting through school, and I kind of had friends. You know, I got my had my first crush, and I had my friend Blabbit, too, the biggest blabbermouth in school. And I went through that kind of complete and utter isolation because I was being made fun of, rejected by the girl. I was upset at my best friend. So you're not really fitting in. There's no real fitting in. I have my family. You know, I got two brothers and a sister. But my older brother and older sister seemed to be in a different wavelength at that point. And my younger brother and I couldn't see eye to eye very often, other than talking about comic books every now and then. So I didn't really fit in there. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do I become? Because I'm pretty young at this time, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what it is to be a human being. And I'm not like thinking that phrase at the time, but that's what I'm actually doing. So I'm thinking, I have to stop giving a damn what other people think of me, which is weird. You know, it's kind of early in your life to go, you know, well, screw everybody else. I'm going to decide what I'm going to be. So I owned up to my comic book nerdery. You know, I went to high school and I went to an all boys high school. Here we go. All boys high school, go to this place and it's another Catholic school. And, I didn't want to go to this school, but my older brother went there. So my folks were like, hey, he can drive you, and then you don't have to go to this other school where all your friends went. Weird side story. I actually sent an acceptance letter to Christ the King High School, where about 80% of my friends were going from grade school. Funny thing is, my folks took the letter and didn't mail it, sent an acceptance letter to another school, and sent it in on my behalf. So I was going to Archbishop Molloy High School in Briarwood, New York, and these could be security answers to questions, but I lie on all my security questions, so don't use this information unless you want to get caught. So anyway, I ended up going to an all-boys school, which is now co-ed, by the way. So I go to this all-boys school, not really fitting in again. It's kind of a little bit looser because it's just guys, and so you can be kind of dumb. And then I started talking to people like computers, so we started talking about computers, and we were talking a bit about comic books. So I started fitting in a little bit better, kind of like a camaraderie there. Played basketball with some of my friends after school, that kind of thing. So I had friends, but I never really hung out after school with them. I didn't go to parties. I always hear like, hey, we went drinking out in the woods last night. And I'm like, where the hell are the woods in Queens, first of all? I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe it was slang for something. I still don't know what they're talking about. Not that they're still talking about it. So my friends, I'd have them in school. It was kind of like work friends. So I didn't really fit in there. And I'd come home and I was getting older and I was trying to figure out what to do. And I was getting fatter because I was going through puberty. And eventually I decided to like drop a ton of weight. And so I dropped like 40 pounds over a summer. I'm not even being facetious. 40 pounds is how much I lost between my like sophomore and junior year. So I'm going through this and eventually I'm going to college. And I remember there was an orientation and I was terrified of orientation because you had to stay there overnight. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to fit in with these people. They're going to know this. You know, I've never been on a date at this point. I'm like 18 years old. My successes with women are at a total zero. Because I think my big move was asking a girl to dance at a Molloy dance, and then getting threatened by some guy to beat me up, and so I ran. Didn't feel like getting my ass kicked, even then. I still don't want to get my ass kicked. So I go to college. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to fit in. So I go into this place and go to orientation, and then people invite me to hang out with them after orientation. I was over the moon. I'm like, oh my gosh, I made it. People are like, they want to hang out with me. It was such a big deal. Like, because this wasn't like high school where people knew you. This was a bunch of people that I didn't know. And we just met in those orientation, like, let's get in a semicircle and let's talk. The weird thing was, on top of that, these folks had preformed groups because they were on Yahoo groups back then talking. These days, you probably have a Facebook group or some kind of some kind of Google circle. I don't know what you would have. But the thing was, they had pre-existing groups and they let me in. And it was kind of cool. I thought like I had gotten away with something. So in college, I finally get socially acclimated into like society. Dating record still at a whopping zero. Just a phenomenal goose egg. So I'm fitting in with humans, which is nice. Not so much in other pursuits, which probably did things better for me. Because eventually in college, I learned, stop caring. I stopped caring again. Once I stopped caring, girls started showing up, which was kind of neat because I'm like, hey, look, I'm a loser. But I didn't tell them that. I was like, well, screw this. I don't care what you think of me. And by the way, there's a tip for anybody who's young. If you care too much what other people think of you, it's not going to work. So now here I am. I'm in college and I'm a comic nerd still. You know, I go to the comic store with my best friend, Rob, who was on the show. We'd go and pick up Preacher like every month and we'd pick up whatever books we wanted every single week. And we'd read. And then we'd, you know, go drinking like you do once a week or twice a week at the time. And then we would watch hockey games and things like that. We had our groups of friends and things. So I go through college, eventually go to all kinds of stuff. I get married. You know, I eventually get married. There's a group to belong to, right? You're in a couple. That didn't work out so well. I get divorced, which I ended up doing like last year, this year. But the divorce took a while. So it wasn't exactly, as you can see, I'm not fitting in very well. You know, I worked at this place in Petaluma, and I kind of fit in there, sort of. It was this kind of like misfit toys kind of feel to it. I kind of fit in with like 99% of the people. There was two in particular I didn't fit in with, and I don't want to get into that here. So I've been struggling to fit in this whole time. I'm 35 now. And even to this day, I'm like, I don't really have a group of people who like have the same interests as me really. I mean, right now, my girlfriend Liz and I share a lot of interests together. We watch a lot of the same shows and movies. We have very similar music tastes. So, you know, it's a nice little group of two. But, you know, I do a show called The 404 at CNET, and a lot of it's about geek culture, and I'm into some of it, but I'm not necessarily into hockey as hardcore as my co-host Jeff. And so I can't really talk to hockey right away. And there's all kinds of gaming stuff. So I'm not a gamer. I used to play video games, and I stopped playing games because I have an obsessive personality. So I was like, dude, you have to stop playing games because you have to spend time doing other things. And so I'm kind of a lapsed comic book reader. The comic book movies came back, and they're using all the origin stuff, which I already know. So I'm kind of like this weird vault of information, or like I know all this comic book stuff. But when the stuff changes, like they did in the 2000s or like after 2000s, I don't really have a lot of comic book knowledge. So I'm sort of a nerd who has dated references with comic books, dated references with video games, because I think the last time I seriously played video games, like just hardcore, was probably in the Genesis days, which is Genesis and Sega, Super Nintendo, that is. Actually, PlayStation. I did play PlayStation quite a bit, the first Sony PlayStation. I kind of fell out of it after that. Occasional Xbox 360 usage. Xbox I used to use as a media center because I liked hacking stuff. I'm not really a hardware hacker. You know, I don't like to just like, I'm not going to spend my time soldering stuff. So I can do, this is going to sound like I'm bragging, I can kind of do whatever I want to do. Like if I want to learn to solder, I can do that. I've done it before. I've made like microphone inputs on the crappiest little cameras in the world, just so I could have a cheap HD camera at the time. This is hilarious because like now you can just get a phone, a crappy phone, and get HD and like all kinds of wireless connectivity that I would be dreaming of back in like 2008 or whatever it was. So I have these skill sets that I don't really kind of cultivate. I have these interests that I'm no longer super interested in because I don't really feel like reading about comic books right now. I don't feel like reading comic books right now. I like reading about comic books, which is weird. I like reading about television and the history of television. But I'm not a huge fan of when it comes to like fiction, right? I like fiction in video, but I don't necessarily like it in writing anymore. So there's a whole group of my friends that like Tom, you know, he loves reading all kinds of works of fiction, and my other nerdy friends, they all love things like, you got to read Ready Player One. And I'm like, yeah, I should. But I keep spending my time reading things about like ESPN and how it came to be. The background information about broadcast television and cable news and how ridiculous this whole thing was is fascinating to me. So you've got that. So my interests at this point are like reading about television, and it's increasingly about fitness because I'm trying to figure out how to stay fit. I quietly, and I'm going to be loud about it now, lost about 10 pounds doing the insanity workout. I had a goal. I've been doing the workouts as not quickly as possible. It's a 63-day plan. I got sick at the very beginning of it. So it's taking me, I think, plus 2 days. So if I finish this, it should take me 63 workouts in 65 days, which includes rest days. So that would be awesome if I could do that. And it's been very helpful. But that's led me to read about, you know, recovering and how to like help my knees out, because my knees have been hurting a bit from all the jumping, how to get the most benefits from the workouts, how to fuel the workouts. So now I'm starting to get not in a musclehead kind of world, but I'm starting to think about body hacking. I've got like some Soylent behind me, so I'm going to try that out. Like Soylent is this meal replacement powder. You put it into water and it becomes some kind of nutrient-rich thing. You probably read about it on The Verge. I'm going to try it out just because why not? Sometimes you don't have time to eat. Let's try this thing out. So right now, my brain is about reading self-help books, which, by the way, don't do much, because reading them is great. But until you decide to commit to particular things, the readings only are readings. You have to practice these things. So there's that. Let's see. I'm kind of not an exercise nut. I refuse to let things come up that stop my workout at this point. So I'm becoming a health nut of some kind, right? Because what kind of lunatic doesn't go out for drinks because he wants to work out at 7 o'clock at night? That's me right now. So I'm considered lame. I'm not fun. You know, I'm not exactly a person who's like, yeah, let's get drunk right now. I enjoy, you know, a good drink or two or six, but that I'm keeping off until the weekends. And like, I don't drink very much. I have a limit now. So as much as I enjoy beer and beer culture, I'm no longer going through the, hey, let's deaden your brain concept. I'm done with that, which is a whole other show I can imagine. But so anyway, my point is about fitting in. I'm 35. I'm talking to a camera, into microphone, into my computer here, and I don't know if I'm ever going to fit in. And the weird thing is, I'm trying to get okay with that. I get chided at times by people, and they're like, you know, ha, you don't know this thing, well, you're lame, or you don't do this, and you're lame. And I'm just kind of like, you know, sometimes I think I just have to go back to when I was a kid or go back to when I was in college and say, you know, I don't care that I don't fit in anymore. I don't need to fit in. I need to be the best version of me possible. And for that to be possible, I need to work out. I'm not saying this because I want it like a vanity thing. It's for my own mental health. I work out. I get endorphins. It lowers your risk of depression. It is physical work, and I need that work to keep sane. I'm not saying, like, there are times when I don't have a workout and you will see me crazier, and I don't like to be that person. I want to make sure that everyone who is dealing with me, and I call it dealing with me, they get a good version of me. And if I'm going to have to tinker with that, which is work out, eat right, and then like feed my brain things which I like, which is like reading about television and the television industry, well, that's what I'm going to do. The pressure to become a gamer, or the pressure to read fiction because all your friends are talking about it. And yeah, it'd be neat to talk to them about it, but I don't necessarily have that same draw to it. And I'm trying to build good habits. So slowly I might add new things, and maybe I'll fit in with other people. I don't know who I fit in with now. And what I got to really, what I've gotten from this whole thing as I'm hearing myself back, and this is weird because now it's like, I'm just talking to me. It's okay not to fit in, you know? Like when I was younger, I tried to develop my my sense of humor because I wanted to deflect fat jokes. I didn't want people to make fun of me. So I had a sense of humor, and I heavily lifted from Bugs Bunny of all things. And then I got into comic books because I wanted to read them. They eventually became mainstream. It's a whole other thing. So it's like, I'm not a hipster. So like, I liked it before it was cool. It's like, but they did become mainstream and they're very bankable. But I enjoyed reading them, and that kind of helped me figure out, you know, morals and all those kinds of ideas and ideals. Like, you know, what do you want to be? Like, yeah, you want to be as dedicated to something as Batman, but the dude is crazy. You know, you don't realize that when you're 12, but when you read, you know, when you're an adult, you're like, this guy is insane, and I don't want to be this guy. As much as he's an admirable fellow, he's nuts. So you got to figure that out. You know, where do you want to be? And it takes a lot of work to accept not fitting in. I don't know if anybody really fits in with everybody else. I know I've seen clicky kind of things. And sometimes I think about the workouts I'm doing. I'm like, I don't want to become a jock. And then I'm like, really? I'm never going to be a jock or athlete. Never going to be one of those things. Not because, well, one, I'm not in high school or college where I could be one of those things. But I don't really care what label I get at the end of this. If I'm working out and I start hacking my food where I am healthier and my body recovers better and I don't get sick as often and my mental health is stable, well, as my dog shakes over there, well, that's a good thing. And it's okay that I don't fit in with everybody. You know, it's nice to have shared interests. I can have a conversation with lots of people. And there are some shared interests, obviously. Like, you know, at work, we all love technology, so it's easy to talk about stuff. So the ideas are they're always going to be there, that you want to fit in. There's always this need to belong to something greater, like my dog who's still itching. Tori, stop itching. So, I mean, that's a lot of reasons for cults and religions and groups and AA meetings. All of these things are about being part of something larger. I'm not trying to denigrate any of those items, by the way. I should say that right now. People who want to belong to something, I understand that. I really want to belong to something. And sometimes I wish it was as easy for me to just belong to something as it is for other people. My brain just doesn't let me do it. It says, no, you figure out what you're going to be and then see a group that's like that. Otherwise, you're cheating yourself of who you're going to be. So it's all about self-actualization. What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What is your goal? And then if you can turn off the part of your brain that says fit in, try to fit in. I mean, it's good to fit in. I mean, God knows I don't want to stand out at the airport. Never do. I never want to do that. But there's times where you have to just simply go, screw it. I have to dedicate myself to something worthwhile. Because as much as it's great to fit in with a bunch of people, you're always stuck with you. Always. So if you're not happy about it, you're going to know. And it's going to be there. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. It's more like it's me talking to me. This is what I've been going through for 30 freaking years. I assumed I fit in before I was in kindergarten. So I'm assuming from 0 to 5, I fit in just fine. I mean, I was a baby. I was a bit sarcastic, apparently, as a young child. So, whatever. I assume. So for 30 years, I've been trying to figure this out. And I'm probably coming back for the third time in my life to stop caring, try not to fit in. Sorry, not try not to fit in. Don't worry about fitting in. Because I don't want to be a standout, anything. It's not like, oh yes, look at me, I'm an example. It's like, look, just be who you are. And if people are cool with it, fine. If they're not, fine. The other thing is, I realize, and this is, you'll see this in other books, nobody thinks about you as much as you do. So if you think, oh, people are making fun of me, they think this of me. Not necessarily. Maybe they do, but how often are they bothering with you? They have their own crazy lives that they're trying to figure out. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of Quest for Peace. So what's my words of wisdom? Not that I ever really have them. It's go out there. Try to figure out what you want to be. Don't worry so much about fitting in. If you're in a college life or you're in a high school life, you have the ability to kind of bounce around between people. And you can kind of find yourself. And you're going to be lost. That's okay. This is from Louis C.K. That reminds me. Like I said, when you were 25, if you're lost and you don't understand what's going on, that's fine. You're not supposed to know everything just yet. So give it some time. Be true to yourself. And then figure out what you want. And that's pretty much it for this episode of Quest for Peace. Thank you for watching and or listening. Remember, other episodes are available at gfqnetwork.com, where this show is proudly produced. At least I hope it still is proudly produced there. Thank you so much. I'm Ayaz Akhtar. You can follow me on Twitter at Ayaz, IYAZ. You can also send us an email if you want. It's quest@gfqnetwork.com. You can send us an email if you've got like, hey, look, that really helped me, or that was really stupid. How could you think that? Or you're like, hey, I got an idea about how to be happy. Whatever you want to talk about, go ahead and email that out, and I'll respond because I get the emails. Thank you so much, and I will see everybody later.